The pandemic has changed the way we work, interact, and for many, where we live. In places like New York City, the population is decreasing, and home values are going down in what were once hot real estate markets like San Francisco. So what does this mean for the future of U.S. cities? Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us now from Washington, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
So, Derek, we heard early on in the pandemic about an urban exodus, or rather people leaving cities like New York for rural areas. Does this decrease mean people aren't coming back to those major cities?
As with so many things in this pandemic, this is an acceleration of pre-existing trends rather than some invented new thing that just started in 2020. Already for the last few decades, you saw domestic migration. That means a number of Americans moving in and out of cities decreasing. People were leaving cities more than they were going into cities. And the reason why metro populations were rising in places like LA and New York was because of the immigrant population. So right now you have a lot less immigration. You have continued out-migration, and that means that cities are shrinking, and they already were shrinking in 2019. The pandemic has accelerated this process. It's made a lot of people who might have been on the edge, at the margins, thinking maybe I should get out of the West Village, maybe I should get out of West Hollywood, making that move and leaving downtown areas. And it's leading a lot of people to be a little bit pessimistic about cities in terms of their population, their tax revenue, and their culture in the near future. I think those fears are well-founded and empirical in nature.
Do you have a sense of the demographics of those leaving? Race, age, class, etc.?
Yeah. So on race first, in the 20th century, you saw something called the Great Migration. That was, say, between 1900 and 1960, millions of black families leaving the South and going into urban areas in the North, Chicago, Philadelphia. They were escaping Jim Crow, and they were entering cities in the North and Midwest. Now you're starting to see something that sociologists call the reverse Great Migration. They are leaving cities in the North and Midwest, and they are moving South. The truth is that the vast majority of Americans are doing the same. They are leaving expensive cities on the coast, and the places they tend to be moving to are in the South and West, in the Sun Belt, in the Carolinas, and even in Idaho. What we also know about the people leaving cities is that they tend to be millennials. People in their late 20s and early 30s are up to three times more likely to move than any other age group. As a result, if you're going to have a period of migration, whatever it is, it's likely that young working adults will be leading that charge.
I want to ask you more about the implications of all of this, but we've heard this framed as the death of New York City when we're talking specifically about what is one of our largest cities in the country. What's really at stake here with this decline in population?
What's at stake is everything that cities are so praised and cherished for: culture, economics, politics. I have equated what's happening in places like New York and Los Angeles to a forest fire. On the one hand, forest fires destroy everything in their path, and then new growth pushes through the dirt and the ash, and you have potentially a more diverse forest that grows after. I think the same thing could happen in America's cities right now, that you could be looking at a year of really difficult economics, but I'm optimistic about cities the next 5 or 10 years. The really interesting stuff, though, is when you start to think about the political implications of coastal cities in long-term decline and Sunbelt cities in long-term growth. The fastest-growing cities in America are not Los Angeles and New York. They're Phoenix and Austin and Dallas and Houston. And the political aspect here means that overall, you have less migration to blue metros in blue states and more migration to blue metros in red states, meaning that all of those states around the South and the Southwest that in 2016 voted for President Trump, over the next 10 years, we could look at them as potential purple states or even as light blue states. Joe Biden is leading in Arizona right now.
You touched on this already. You said we're already seeing changes with this election, but in 5 or 10 years, we will see even more of a change or shift. Do you think that that will be a major change that we'll see and shift when we think about November's presidential election?
I think in many ways, both the pandemic and Donald Trump are pulling forward the future. Trump, in many ways, accelerated the GOP's relationship with the white working class in the Great Lakes regions when he won Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan. And he also loosened the connection between Republicans and metros. Democrats are winning in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix. They're running up huge margins in the four major cities in Texas. So I think what's happening here is you could tell the story as sort of a resorting of the strongest cities in America, that the Democratic Party in particular is not necessarily going to be commanded by San Francisco and New York in the next decade or two decades. It will be led by Phoenix and Austin and Dallas and Houston and Atlanta, a very different picture of the Democratic Party of the next generation.
Derek Thompson is a staff writer with The Atlantic. As always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.